All right, our agenda is here. Francois, you're up to scribe today. Would you mind? Great, thanks. We have two additions to the agenda. One of them is discussing the IRI URL issue, and the other item is discussing compaction of URLs such that their relative after compaction happens, and some concerns that we hit while implementing that over the weekend. Any other changes or additions to the agenda?
No addition. I can just mention that we have in the National Library project I'm working with, where I'm also in April will be employed, we are working a lot with bibliographic data and the MARC structure and stuff like that. We have used JSTOM, but I've hitherto not been able to push through the various legacy demands so that we could lift this data into a more comprehensible, modern form suitable for RDF. But we are going to do that now, given things we've learned during the past months. So we are going to push forward and try to make a sort of decisive simplification for the seemingly regular common cases. And there we are going to use JSON-LDs explicitly, and also leverage the fact that JSON-LD can store non-mapped things. So I'm really going to try out this stuff and see.
Very cool.
It feels really good.
That's great. Is that public information?
Yes, I think so. It's just a part of our development process, which is public, and we have things on GitHub, so sooner or later people will see this move in the code as well, which is
awesome.
Public. So,
awesome. That's great news. Fantastic news.
Thanks.
Yeah, congratulations all around. I mean, you're on a roll here with
yes.
The link data stuff. Okay, let's see. Any other changes or additions to the agenda? First up on the agenda is compact IDs to relative IRIs, a transformation. We found that we went ahead and implemented that for our web payment stuff over the weekend. excuse me. And what we found out was that we do a lot of digital signatures on our JSON-LD data using the normalization algorithm for JSON-LD. We end up storing that information in a Mongo database, a NoSQL database. And when you compact down to a relative IRI, you lose the base. So that means that either our data structures, we used to just store it as plain JSON-LD, just store the document directly into the database with the context. But now it seems that we have to change our database layout to store the base along with the document, or pass, as Marcus suggested, null to the compaction algorithm for the base IRI so that it doesn't generate relative IRIs. So I'm raising this as a concern. It was something that we had not thought of. And in some cases, it's nice because relative IRIs can be migrated from one server to another fairly easily by just changing the base IRI. But in another case, it would completely destroy all the digital signatures. In both cases, it would destroy all the digital signatures. So I don't think it's a big issue. I just wanted to see what the rest of the folks in the group thought about this relative IRI stuff. To us, it's a bit too aggressive. So with our system, we would never want that relative IRI stuff to happen. but I can see how other systems might prefer the opposite. Nicholas, you're on the queue.
I sympathize with this concern. I think that there may be a bunch of cases where people really want to compact their data, but preserve full URIs or IRIs or URLs or. I didn't really have time to check out the API calls and where you have to put null in. But is there? I see the risk with someone forgetting to do that. And is there a risk that someone wants to expand and then compact somehow, confusing their where they should put in the base URI, because you should put in the base URI to be able to resolve things correctly. If your input data has relative IRIs, and then you might end up juggling the base IRI wrongly, and then you end up with data which has nice relative IRIs, and as you say, you put that in a store and you have no base, you lost your base entirely. So just a gut feeling is that I think that this should be not the default, but a parameter. I sympathize with that.
All right. Marcus, go ahead.
Well, the question is where the base IRI comes from in the first place, because normally you would set the base IRI as an option in JSON-LD options. So if you don't do anything, well, we have that text there that says that it defaults to the document's IRI, but that depends how you pass the document into the API. So maybe, I don't know, maybe you should remove that defaults to the document IRI so that you always have to set it explicitly, and that would solve the problem.
Really, really quickly, I think the idea that a mistake like this would go into production, I think that's very slim to non-existent, the risk of that happening, because I think people will maybe do this once or twice and then go, oh yeah, I just lost my base IRI, and then they will start to track the base IRI in their application. I don't know if we need to go as far as Marcus stated, in just, you know, remove that automatic setting of the base IRI. I don't know if we need. I honestly don't know if we really need to do anything here. It's just, you know, are we concerned about this or not? That's kind of what I wanted to discuss. Right now, I'm leaning towards not doing anything at all, and maybe not even making, you know, changing the default, but. Again, I'm on the fence about it. Greg, you're on the queue.
Yeah, in my other RDF implementations, it's common to use the document URL as the base, which can be overwritten using a parameter. Usually, though, when if I'm parsing, the document base is used to resolve relative IRIs. If I'm serializing, you need to pass a base in order to have it be used. And I think that's very similar for the compact case. Now, the JSON-LD API does allow you to sort of shortcut by using the compact algorithm and specifying a document source, after which you would get back a, presumably a compacted document that had removed any notion of what the base URI was. Every other RDF serialization allows me to output a statement of what the base is. And as I recall, the reason we didn't do that in JSON-LD, we rejected the notion of a base in context or someplace, was because we felt you could do that with a term. You could always define a term for the document base. But there is no, you know, if we had a way to maybe automatically insert a term, which is defined to be the document base, then that would be used by subsequent sort of compactions or compactions. That would be one way to remove it. But if we're not willing to do something like that, I'd say, you know, caveat emptor, and we should just leave it the way it is, because I think there is value in using compact IRIs. You just care must be taken.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it sounds like there isn't a strong push to remove the feature or change the default or anything like that. We're just going to try it out. What we might want to do is we might want to mark this as an at-risk feature in case we find some horrible side effect after we go to last call. Or we want to put that in the spec before we go to last call. Nicholas, you're on the queue.
Yeah. What happens when you have do a compact call when your input is compact JSON with relative IRIs and an embedded context? Can you call compact with that as input and another context to which you want to transform the outputs? Does it work like that?
Yeah, that's how it works.
Yeah. If you do that, you need to supply the base IRI in order to be able to resolve the input relative IRIs. And then you have no way to prevent that base IRI from being used in the output to make new relative IRIs.
You'd have to do it with two passes. You'd have to do an expand operation to get it all absolute, and then a compact where you could specify a different base IRI if you wanted to. But if you were to do a compact with a remote document, then it would expand using that remote document IRI, right? So that was how relative IRIs would be resolved. Then when it compacted, it would also compact using the same remote location. So I think you would get the results that you wanted. You just are in danger of losing. Oops, sounds like we lost Nicholas.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's a danger of losing the data, and it's sort of a shame that there's not a way to preserve the document base in the document itself.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you call compact, you can always, I mean, you are the one who specifies the context used to compact. You can always include the base IRI in that context as a term.
Yeah.
I think the bottom line is that there are multiple ways to get around some of these shortcomings, and we're optimizing for the general case where we believe that relative IRIs are going to be preferred in compact form.
Yeah, that's at least my opinion. Yeah.
Yeah. We could, understanding that we could be wrong about that.
Sure.
We could be wrong in that people, when they use the JSON-LD documents in compact form, they actually want the full IRIs. But if they want that, they can just pass the null flag in, and they've got that. So I don't think there's anything preventing people from using full IRIs in compact form if they really want to. Nicholas, you're on the queue.
I just recalled something I saw on Twitter recently. I don't think there was any blog article about it, but it was Ed Summer asking about the general preference in JSON APIs for relative IRIs, and it seemed the opinion that the replies he received were, as I recall, all advocating for absolute IRIs. Perhaps slash base, but I think they were at least absolute, because the point was that in order to do convenient hate-to-us-style code, you wanted to make things to be as simple as possible for the consumers to follow links, and resolving the links is a tiny hurdle which might complicate things.
Yeah, and that's actually what we do. We have multiple completely different systems, not just web payments, but asset tracking and another system that all use the IDs as absolute IRIs. So in each one of the systems we have, we do not like using relative IRIs in the JSON-LD data.
No, and API data consumption is easier if you use full IRIs for everything.
Right, exactly.
So it's more like it's easier on the eyes with relative IRIs, but that's basically it. And perhaps bandwidth, but I mean, not so much.
Yeah, so that's the only, Marcus, that's the only thing that calls this decision into question, that makes me uncomfortable about this decision, is that I don't know if it's actually true that people would prefer relative URLs in the general case or not. And if we make this decision, I'm trying to think if it would be very easy to change it in the future. So if we had a JSON-LD 1.1, could we change the behavior of the API in that case? And I don't think we could do it without breaking a bunch of sites that use the API.
Well, I mean, like the preference, you could also see the other way around when you're developing, when you're debugging, or those kind of things. You generally want relative IRIs because you don't want to jump between your production server and the staging server, for example.
Well, but we just generate completely different IRIs in that case.
I just put a proposal in there.
You could keep static documents instead, for example.
I think this is a perfect reason why we want to be able to mark something as at risk so that we can get community feedback and affect it in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I think we'll just go back and forth for the rest of the call on this.
Yep.
What exactly do we mark at risk? The API? So the web idle stuff, or
the API, basically saying that by default, ID IRIs are compacted to a relative IRI, and we're and the feature is at risk, and we're seeking community feedback on whether that should be the default.
Yeah, I think it's got to be in the compaction algorithm itself, because that's where the description of doing compaction is. The API really just provides you an option to specify the base and then call the resulting algorithm. By the way, as I discovered, if you use class equals at risk, there is a respec markup for at risk features.
Mm-hmm. And we should use that. Okay, Marcus, plus one, minus one, Francois.
Okay, I didn't see the proposal, sorry.
And I think that's all we can do at this point. Anything else on this issue before moving on?
So after adding that at-risk marker, do I simply close the issue, or?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
So this is issue 205. I spoke with the WG slightly before the call, and they're actually still discussing it in the WG channel. First some background. Marcus proposed to close the issue. We got a fairly smarmy response from Pat Hayes, which I think might be reflected with the rest of the people in the RDF working group. The core problem is that I don't think that the RDF working group is going to really buy the argumentation that we can just rename IRI, you know, just use the word URL and mean IRI. We need to actually tell people why we're doing it other than web developers like it better. Is there any other reading that that folks in this group got from the responses we've had to this so far?
And we got also a second response from, who was it? O'Connell.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
I don't know how to pronounce his last name.
Yeah.
I think there's a good point there. There's a danger that, I think the greater danger is that this be viewed as being some hybrid beast, and that using URL sort of is perhaps trying to serve two masters. And the notion that IRI is too difficult a concept for web developers, I think, is sort of absurd, particularly if it's described as such up front.
Yeah, I don't think it's too difficult. I think it is that there's some work that's going on, and Van Kesteren is working on a URL spec, an updated URL spec that aligns RFC 3986 and RFC 3987. In that, they're basically saying we are going to standardize on the terminology URL, because the only people that are using the terms IRI are people like the RDF community and the IETF. Most of the other web specs, HTML5, all of the web app specs, every single one of those things use the term URL. And if we're looking towards the future, and we think that, you know, Anne's going to finish this work, which he's pretty determined to finish, then I think the future is going to be URL, not IRI.
Yeah, but why do we need to take a stand in that? I mean, we're an RDF spec. It seems to me that there's something to be said for being consistent with RDF. If in a 1.2, say, there's a decision to, we've gotten past a point where the IRIs and URLs are unified, then that would be an appropriate time to change that. But in advance of that, it just sort of seems like we're getting involved with a political ball that we don't need to.
No, I don't see it as a political. I don't necessarily see it as a political issue. I do think that web developers don't understand URI and IRI as well as they understand URL. And we're talking about people that I think it's the target audience for this spec. We want web developers to use it, and in general, the feedback that we've gotten from web developers in the web payments work and through, you know, the WebWG folks is that they don't understand the distinction between IRI and URI and URL, and the terminology that they use most often is URL. So that's the terminology that we should be using. I think that's the basis of the argument. I think everything else kind of layers on top of that. You know, well, yes, the RDF working group uses IRI everywhere, but you can also argue that RDF has not been very successful in the general web developer community. Right.
I guess my question is the place to make that point within a JSON-LD spec, or is this an argument to be brought just in general to the RDF working group and advocate updating the specifications, which are still, that are not complete yet, to use the term URL instead of IRI? And if you can't convince the bulk of the RDF working group to do that, that I'm not sure why the rules are different for JSON-LD.
Well, I think the rules are different for JSON-LD because it is not trying to follow the standard, you know, RDF.
Therefore, it's you know, addressing two masters, and it doesn't satisfy either. And that's the perception that I get, because I think the sort of the status of JSON-LD within the RDF working group is not entirely positive, because it is in many respects unnecessarily different. And I think we went through this. We did a lot of unification so that we're much closer now, but yet we're still pushing for a difference of terminology that makes it difficult from the respect of looking at JSON-LD as being in the RDF family of specifications. We're sort of making a separation that creates a cognitive barrier. And that maybe the place to address that, which is something that I think you've resisted in the past, would be in a JSON-LD primer that is really focused towards web developers, where using alternative terminology might be more appropriate.
Yeah. Any other feedback on this from other folks in the group?
I think I agree with Greg and with the sentiment. And I mean, IRI is the correct thing to say right now, and it's the only specification. I think I'd prefer a note about in the future the concept of URLs might be specified to be equivalent to IRI rather than writing in the spec. We use URL because we expect this to be standardized as equivalent to IRI. I'd rather see a replace in JSON LD1.1, I think.
Okay, well, I disagree, but I am feeling that I'm in the minority here.
I would like for this to have been done because I don't like IRI. I mean, of course, I'd rather use URI, and I'd rather seen RFC 97 be merged to 39, which is it, whatever, the IRI to be backported into the URI to fix that and use URI. Mm-hmm. But, so, there I am.
Right. Okay, so I guess the argument is that if the URL and IRI specs were, if the merger had already happened, we would pick URL, but since it is not done, we're not going to pick it. Is that so in order to convince the RDF working group to use URL over IRI, there has to be some kind of final specification saying that they have been merged and the terminology is URL from here on out. Since that's not there, it's going to be very difficult to get the RDF working group to agree to changing their terminology because there is nothing normative that says that the two have been combined. And so since we can't get the RDF working group to go away from IRI, then the chances that we're going to be able to do the same in the JSON-LD spec is slim to none. There is one counterexample, and that is that, you know, we in JSON-LD, we really pushed for having named graph support, and it's in there because we pushed for it. I believe that if we could make the same kind of push for URL versus IRI, if the group agreed on that, but again, I feel like I'm in the minority here.
Well, name graphs are a little different because that was already an RDF concept, so that's not as big a push. I expect many battles in the future over changing IRI to URL because URL means that there's a document location, which is great for linked data, but a lot of RDF is about identification and not location. So I'm sort of with Nicholas that the invention of the term IRI is unfortunate, and if we could just settle on URI, I mean, that's a long-standing concept. And perhaps we might see that there is a subsection in the forthcoming URL spec which talks about URIs.
Yeah, well, I guess the assumption I was making is that there would be the distinction between URI and URL, and we would use the UR, not the IR version of these things. Mostly because the IR version of it is just it's very technical. It's a technical thing that, you know, had the web been designed correctly, quote-unquote, from the beginning, it would have had internationalization built into the identifiers by default. And we would just be, you know, we would be using URI and URL, and IRL or whatever you want to call it, would never have entered the picture. So I think this attempt to merge is an attempt to kind of act as if that happened, right? So we have URL and URI. Although they do say here that the standardizing on the term URL is preferred, URI and IRI are confusing. So,
well, of course, this is coming from the web browser group, so it's not surprising that that's the stance they take. And this is not a spec. This is an opinion. So I think on the route to becoming any kind of a standard, there will be some give and take.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. So what does this mean? We're undoing the resolution and moving from URL back to IRI?
Yeah, I'd just say let's put it on hold.
Should we keep URL in the spec as it is right now, or should we move it back to IRI for the last call?
I would move it back to IRI.
Any other input from other folks in the group? Russell, you're on the queue.
Yeah, just to jump because I haven't spoken yet about it. The length of the discussion shows that it's not an easy change, so it doesn't matter so much in the end. So I guess the easy resolution is to use IRI in the end and not URL. So let's stick to that, I would say.
Okay, so the proposal is use IRI in the JSON-LD specifications instead of URL. Okay, there's the proposal. Marcus and Nicholas, plus one, minus one. All right, that's resolved. Okay, so next up on the agenda is the discussion about the approach on the algorithms. Marcus went through and, as everyone knows, Marcus went through and reworked the algorithms to fix them at any corner cases that we were missing in the algorithms. So he did a bunch of really great work to update those. And then Greg also went in to try and make the algorithms more descriptive than prescriptive. Also a bunch of great work, great spec work there. So the discussion today is to figure out which approach we want to take in general, and then maybe we go down every single, each algorithm to figure out what needs to be included in the last call spec and what should probably be left by the wayside. Any updates to these algorithms? Or Greg, Marcus, do either of you want to give kind of a quick overview of kind of your position on the algorithms before we start talking about it?
Well, sure. I mean, I'll just say that the work Marcus did is great, and I made use of that pervasively through the versions I did, and so my intention was to try to stick to the, for the most part, the same steps that Marcus had, but just relax the terminology. Now, the one thing that was open was sort of removing the repeated normative text, which I'm sort of going through right now, but I don't think that that's really germane to the discussion right now. So I think the biggest difference is sticking a little closer to the original algorithms in terms of not defining data structures that perhaps are useful in an implementation, but try to stick with the fairly straightforward discussions that we had done earlier, where we can go through and look at a context definition and use that. For instance, I think the main thing there is in IRI compaction. So other than IRI compaction, I think the algorithms are all fairly similar.
Yeah, I think the biggest difference is that Greg's algorithms use that term ranking algorithm, whereas mine uses what I call an inverse context. And basically the reason why I introduced that inverse context is to make it more obvious which term is chosen or which property generator is chosen. So you index all the terms by container and then by type or language, and then you can kind of directly select it if there is one, or otherwise there are some clear fallback rules. So for example, if you start with an @set container, you fall back to no container, or if you start with an @annotation container, you fall back to set and then to null, and so on. And the same applies for language or types. So it's, if you have the inverse context in front of you, it's very trivial to figure out which term it gets selected, but maybe the algorithms are, it's difficult to understand the algorithms without seeing the inverse context. So I put an example of an inverse context into this back. I don't know if that helps or not.
Yeah, I think the issue was looking at a test, a compaction test, and trying to walk through the algorithms to convince myself what the result would be, and in this case, chiefly in terms of trying to figure out what term selected would be. And I found that unless I actually implemented the evaluation context algorithm, which would result in an inverse context, I couldn't really figure out what the result was going to be. But the term rank is done in with respect to the term definitions themselves. So it was easier to walk through looking at a context and a document and see what the result was going to be.
Probably it's difficult to understand both algorithms if you just look at the algorithms. Because in one case, you calculate numbers and then sort the terms according to those numbers, whereas in the other case, you first look at the containers, so you filter them by container and then by type or language, and then you choose the shortest term, or you fall back to another container, and so on. So I think in the end it boils down to how you describe it or how you read those algorithms. It's difficult to say whether one is simpler or the other is simpler.
Let's see, Francois, you were on the queue. Nicholas, you're on the queue?
Yeah. Lamentably, I have not had time to sit down and really read through this, and even less time to implement. But in general, I think the descriptive rather than prescriptive is good. I think that these spec algorithms are intended to be designed more for human processors, if you will, to read through, as Greg exemplified. I don't know if we... Is there text? I mean, we have text about this not being the definitive. You have to implement exactly this algorithm. So perhaps there is a way to say, add a note and or appendix to say that there are certain optimizations which are recommendable in practice or something like that. Just a fuzzy suggestion from my part. I don't know what that would entail. In this specific case, though, I'd like to say that my gut feeling is that I would probably do something akin to the inverse context. I have done something fairly similar from a superficial glance in my current code. When I read the ranking algorithm, I have trouble with it, which sounds similar to what Marcus had troubles with. So there is value in that, I think. But as I said, I can't really make a definitive informed statement about which of these are the better, is the better.
So Dave Longley is still in the middle of it doing the implementation, but he had a chance to read over both sets of algorithms. As did I. I've glanced over the algorithms and read through them, and I think, I agree. In general, the key of this has to do whether we're using term rank or the inverse context creation, and having read through both of them, I find both of them moderately confusing, but the term rank algorithm is less so. Meaning to me, I look at the term rank algorithm and I'm like, okay, it's just a bunch of if then else statements. I have no real idea what these numbers mean, but you know, if the rank's higher, then you know, you pick the term. That's easy. That's fairly easy for me to kind of understand, and the term rank algorithm kind of fits on a page, so I can get a pretty good idea of what's going on there. The biggest issue that I had with the inverse context creation is that it is a fairly complicated map. I understand how the map works, but the fact that it takes up so much space in the spec and it takes so much to explain it kind of shows that it's more, it feels more complex, at least upon reading it, right? So, you know, we read through the term rank algorithm before. There was nothing else that it was kind of competing against, and we were like, surely we can come up with something better. And now there's, you know, the inverse context, and we're looking, or at least I'm looking between both of those, and I'm going, well, it seems like the term rank algorithm is simpler than the inverse context creation.
When it comes to implementation... It takes up so much space. I mean, the algorithm itself is shorter than the alternative algorithm.
No, I don't think it is. There are four steps, the number of sub-steps for the inverse context creation, and then there's almost an equivalent number in the inverse context query algorithm. I mean, there are two algorithms that are required to use the inverse context. That's what I mean by, you know, it's you have to read a lot more to kind of understand, to just get the basic data in, and then you have to kind of understand how the whole data structure works. Whereas with term rank, it's just kind of a bunch of if and else statements, if that makes sense.
Well, I mean, you construct inverse context once, and then you just do the you just query it. In term rank,
I know.
But
yeah,
if you put all the steps together, I think it's at most, both algorithms together are at most the same length than the term ranking algorithm. If we are just looking at the length.
I'm not just looking at the length, though. I'm looking at complexity as well. I mean, length, I can measure it on the screen. It's if I line it up, it's almost, you know, 1.5 times as long. Right. But that's a bad metric. That's a horrible metric to use for with any of this stuff.
I think another thing to consider is sort of the locality, and we could imagine rewriting the term rank algorithm to be less sort of mathematical or less based upon numbers, and more more descriptive, but the fact that we just rely upon the term rank algorithm from IRI compaction to get a result means that we only need to make a change in the term rank algorithm versus involving the other bits about context parsing, inverse context creation, and then the use of that, specifically the inverse context within the IRI selection, the IRI compaction. It ends up moving the responsibility out to more parts of the spec. So I certainly could see rewriting the term rank algorithm to use fewer magic numbers, but yet come up with the same result. I think the key there would be is, again, can you look at the context in front of you and a value that you're trying to compact and sort of work it out for you which of the various terms would be selected.
Yeah. So just very, very quickly, I think at this point, myself, Greg, and Dave Longley disagree that the inverse context mechanism is the way to go. That said, the rest of the algorithms look, you know, pretty good. I think that the alternative document is the one that I think I would prefer to use. Dave Longley has said that he prefers to use that one, but Dave Longley actually also has issues with the alternative spec in that some of the algorithms he's just coming up with his own ones instead of. I mean, he read through the both specs, and then he's like, no, I'm gonna do something different with his implementation.
That's a reasonable thing to do, and I think the key should be. In terms of the simplicity of the description of the algorithm, rather than is that the best algorithm for someone to implement. Now that said, if Dave has simpler algorithms for these things, then we should consider that. But there were two aspects to my take on this. One was to not depend upon an inverse context. The other was to not sort of conflate the API needs with, say, raising specific errors with the more pure, if you will, specification of an algorithm is finding exceptional conditions.
Yeah, and I agree with that. The optimizations that Dave Longley is doing is because we discovered that we're running benchmarks on our commercial web payment system, the Paceworm system, and we found out that the bottleneck in the system is not database speed, it's JSON-LD document processing. So that was a surprise. And we found out that the majority of that was because we were having to copy context and clone things so much. The majority of the time spent, we've got, you know, 8 CPUs going, and most of them are spending their time copying context information and cloning stuff. So he has to implement something to make sure that we're not copying as much data as we are when we're processing our JSON-LD documents. And many of those optimizations I don't think should go in the spec because it's going to be highly complicated and confusing to people reading it for the first time.
But I also think that we do call out, say, make a copy or pass a copy of the context. For instance, where we perhaps don't need to be that explicit. We can just say using the context and then make it clear early on that none of these calls should result in side effects.
Right. And I think we do that I thought we did that in the spec. I thought we had a discussion about making sure that was said clearly. I mean, honestly, I don't think we need to nitpick on the algorithms to that degree. I think saying make a copy is fine because, you know, a good implementer is going to look at that and say, well, actually, I don't need to make a copy at this point to make sure that there are no side effects, right? And I think it's simpler to say make a copy because then the person goes, okay, I'm working with a fresh piece of data and it doesn't matter what I do to it. So I think leave things as is when it comes to the copying thing. Was there any other part of these algorithms that changed drastically? My read through it didn't really show any large difference other than the reverse context, the inverse context stuff.
I haven't looked at flattening, like I said, so I didn't really make any changes to that. Otherwise, like I said, my basis was the original algorithms, and then rewriting them to agree with Marcus in order to get most of those details. So I think other than for compaction, they should be pretty similar there.
Yeah, and I think the alternate document at least is a really nice hybrid between Marcus's work and your work. At least our read through it made it seem like it was a step in a very positive direction. It's better than all the other stuff that we've had previous to it. At least that's my opinion and Dave Longley's opinion. I'm sorry, Nicholas, you've been on the queue for a while.
Right. I just want to ask if we could make it much clearer in the spec that these algorithms are very descriptive, and since there is knowledge from all of you where they are suboptimal, I think it would be good to add notes. For instance, I'm pretty sure that I will continue in my implementation to pre-process the context, probably not exactly like Marcus did, but in general, there are many ways to optimize this to make the actual number of calls for each compact operation and things like that much more simple. Although it might, since you can do this in many ways, and I'm convinced my way isn't the fastest. So, but something to that effect in the spec text would be usable.
IRI expansion is another example of that, where it's written as being recursive in order to deal with possible dependencies, but it's natural to resolve all those dependencies when you're processing the context rather than when you're trying to actually expand an IRI.
Exactly.
So, yeah. And I think putting notes in, and implementation notes, is a reasonable thing to do, either as notes within that section or perhaps an appendix with some implementation notes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A quick note. The result of the context processing in my implementation, I've tinkered. I have not had time to do fully, but using that to be able to do, missing attribute or property, method missing lookups to use a context definition to access a live RDF graph with RDF libraries. That's one example of where I would certainly use a different implementation under the hood, mm-hmm. not just for this, but to leverage in another case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I mean, I think all of those things are editorial, and we can add them to the spec at any point. We should certainly add them before, as early as we can, because there are going to be people trying to implement this stuff, hopefully, in the next couple of months. But I don't think we need to go into detail on what notes we're going to add to the spec at this point, just because they are editorial and we can add them at, whenever we choose to. Is there any input on which one of these documents to kind of settle on and make the main line?
Well, I have a question regarding the alternate algorithms. Do we have an implementation of that? Because I think there are a number of bugs in it, but I'm not sure. I just quickly read it, so I'm not sure if I'm correct or not.
Yeah, well, mine's certainly not a pure implementation of it, since the source I took it from was based upon changes that had been made from my own. I think some D. Longley rewrote, or perhaps you did, Marcus, a while ago, the context processing, so I don't do context processing that way. in terms of compaction, expansion, IRI compaction, expansion, I implement pretty much exactly what's in the specs.
Because, for example, if I now I just looked at the URL compaction or IRI compaction algorithm, and there, for example, for property generators, you need to return multiple or to test multiple candidates, and that's not in the algorithm, for example.
Oh, yeah, because that's an that was based upon an earlier statement of the algorithm, and I don't implement it so it's entirely recursive. I fully resolve that when I'm doing context processing. So in terms of where it says there about making recursive calls, no, I did not implement that. So yeah, if there's a bug in there, then I guess someone that has an implementation that's closer to what's specified in there might update that.
Well, yeah. Well, my implementation at least is almost exactly as the algorithms are. So I'm a bit worried about changing the algorithms if we don't even have one implementation which sticks closely to what's in the spec or in the ultimate spec.
Well, maybe Dave can look at it, because, like I said, I think that the earlier rewrite was one that Dave had done.
I think there
are two things that we need to decide here. One of them is the general approach, and then the other one is, you know, which bugs exist in whichever, you know, thing we pick, and then, you know, how quickly we're going to fix those bugs. I think what Marcus is saying is that he is reluctant to adopt the alternate spec because he believes there are bugs in it, and we should just modify the spec that he has there.
Well, that's sort of what I did, but I mean, I think Marcus, URL expansion, it takes a different advantage of a lot of the data structures that he's described. I'd have to look at it again, but that's sort of the quandary we have if we're gonna try to go to a pure specification. I could try to re-implement using this, or we could look over it some more, but I'd like to hear what Dave has to say about it.
Sure. And he's probably, he can, I'll ask him to weigh in on the mailing list.
Did you have concerns other than URL expansion, Marcus?
Well, I didn't look at everything in detail, but URL compaction, for example, or well, I would have to look, but I found a number of bugs by just quickly skimming over it. And at least I know that the spec that I wrote is exactly, I mean, you can almost read it side by side with my code. So if there is a bug, it's also in my code.
Yeah, I found some bugs going through your versions of them as well, although I felt they were probably more transcriptional types of issues rather than pure algorithmic issues. So
probably
I think that's probably the case here as well, because for the most part, this is what I implement. I mean, I wasn't about to go and completely rewrite a processor just to follow them purely. So I think we all have implementations, and we try to manage them to move closer to the spec text where we can. But if there's bugs in there, then we should focus on it. But I think that to do that, we sort of need to get it stabilized.
I don't think the argument that there exists bugs in either one of these is a good reason to not go forward and adopt the general approach. If there are bugs, we will find them and we will fix them. If there if the implementations are only half baked right now, then we will go through and make sure that the algorithms are correct. I mean, that's really part of what the whole candidate recommendation, you know, phase is for.
The argument was to use an algorithm where we have at least one implementation, not use, like you said, Dave Longley has yet another algorithm.
Yeah, but I don't think we're going to, I don't think that that is, someone is going to have to sit down and implement the entire thing, the entire API spec, if we're going to get that. We're not going to do that as a company. Greg's not going to do that. You already did that for the current spec, but we've already said that we have issues with the reverse context algorithm, so you're going to need to change your processor to rip that out and put the term ranking stuff back in. You know, I think if we're going to wait for someone to do implementations on this stuff and not do that stuff in parallel, not do the implementations in parallel, we're going to really blow our time budget on this stuff. We're not going to have
That's exactly why I'm worried about this discussion, because we have an implementation, we have a spec.
But we have
Marcus,
you have an implementation that three people have said that they don't believe is a simple is something
that
the group wants to do.
But then we need to get another implementation of the alternative algorithm. And you already said that Dave isn't going to implement that, so it's up to Greg. I don't know if Greg
I think it might be worth documenting or getting Dave's perspective on where he diverges from those algorithms. I mean, if he's basically implementing compaction and expansion that's in here and his difference is sort of in context processing, or there's a way to loosen up the discussion of, say, context copying so that his algorithm does sort of match that because it's been made more vague, then that perhaps satisfies the concern.
So I'll check with Dave Longley and see where he's deviated from the algorithms. I know that he was following Greg's alternate implementation. So I'll have a chat with him and tell him to talk back to the mailing list about it. I know that in the past when working groups have said let's wait to go to last call until we have a full implementation of the algorithm, it has really destroyed their ability to go to last call. So that's why I'm very concerned about it. I think it's much easier for us, for the editors and the implementers to look through the algorithms and say, yes, that looks right, than it is for somebody to go through and implement it word for word. Because, you know, like we've said, these algorithms are meant to be descriptive. They're not prescriptive. So the way people actually end up implementing it is different. Almost, you know, every implementation of the RDFA algorithms does not follow the precise wording in the spec. And again, you know, it's time and time again in W3C specs, it has been found that whenever you're prescriptive, you have far more issues than when you're descriptive. We don't want to box people into, you know, implementing this stuff in a very specific way. Which is why I don't believe that, you know, saying that we have an implementation that follows the algorithm precisely is something that we really need to shoot for. I can imagine, if, Marcus, I think you disagree on that point.
Yeah, I do disagree. Because how would you otherwise know? Why do you need a test suite then? I mean, if you not even have one algorithm, or one implementation of the algorithm you're going to specify, why do you specify it then, or how do you know it's right?
Well, you know it's right because there are enough people looking at it and enough implementers that have looked over the algorithm, implemented and passed the test suite to tell you that it's right, right?
Yeah, I think that is sort of the point of the test suite.
I don't buy that argument.
If the test suite is comprehensive and covers various different parts of the algorithm, then an implementation which passes the test suite is conformant, no matter how they implemented it. And that's sort of the point. You don't want to have to require that everyone implement it the same way to be conforming. And that's where I still have some concerns about our dependencies on B-node labeling, for instance, in the results, because that the only way to get there is to be very closely follow what we're doing versus something that perhaps is more parallel might come up with the same graph but use different B-node labels along the way. So that remains an open issue, but the standard should be not on whether someone implemented the algorithm word for word, because I don't think you'll find in any other implementation that that's what people do, but whether they conform to the tests.
Yes, I agree with that, but what I said was that if you're going to specify something, we should at least test it and implement it at least once ourselves.
Yeah, I think the only thing that's required is for us to run the algorithm through in our head and make sure that that at least two or three people agree that that's the right thing to do. That's typically the way these specs are done in the W3C. Nobody follows the spec word for word, because there's not enough detail in there to implement it word for word. You start writing an implementation, you read the spec to see what the general algorithm is, and then you check to see that you pass the test suite. Right.
When I've found problems in the past, I've either tried to go in and fix it or raise an issue about it or add a note or something like that. So I think that's sort of the way to handle these things.
Yeah, I mean, typically what you'll see is when we get to the candidate rec phase, people will read over the algorithms and say, step, 3.5.6 in the, IRI compaction, in the IRI compaction algorithm is wrong because of, and then they'll list the reasoning, and then they'll go and update the algorithm, right? So it's not, I don't think we're going to be so far off base with these algorithms that they're going to be unimplementable. And if they are unimplementable, we'll hear about it from one of the implementers. But I think we have to trust that there are very competent people implementing this stuff and reading over the algorithms, such that we're fairly certain that the algorithms are not, so horribly off base that they're not going to be implementable. Was any of that convincing, Marcus?
Yeah, just don't believe it works out. But yeah, we'll see.
Okay. All right, well then, we're 12 minutes over. We're probably not going to have a resolution on the algorithms thing. I will have Dave Longley send his thoughts into the mailing list, and then we will continue discussion on this next week. Anything else before we go? All right. Thanks, guys, for the discussion, and we'll chat next week.
Okay. Bye.
All right. Bye.
Bye.